breakdancing and the romancing, through the twisting and the turning, I'm so glad I've got you, baby, as my partner in the dance of life. Ba 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 ba. Sometimes we go fast, sometimes we go slow, sometimes we swing side to side, we bump and sometimes bruise. We glide and we slide, and then we get it right. We're dancing side by side as partners in the dance of life. Ba 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 ya. Sometimes the rhythm is in our feet, sometimes we follow our heart. Sometimes we get lost, sometimes if we must, we'll dance together, baby, even when we're apart. We glide and we slide, then we get it right. We're dancing side by side as partners in the dance of life. Ba 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 ba.
With host Aiden Saint presents news, interviews, music, and entertainment for the GLBTQ community on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Sunday evenings, 6 to 8 p.m., cool guests, live on-location broadcasts, and provocative topics, so you never know what'll happen next. Won't you join us live or later via podcast? You can get us at www.citr.ca or contact us at queerradiovancouver@gmail.com.
Wow. Wow. That was a really interesting experience. Hey, my name's Aiden Saint, and this is Queer FM Arts Extra. It's one of those mornings where you wake up and you think, oh my God, how early is it? And then you come into work and you realize, wow, someone really exceptionally tall or with 14 arms sat in this chair because, wow, Hey, how you doing? Oh, the microphone was backwards, upside down, and in the next room. Well, we've got a great show for you today. I've got the Mr. Dark. Mr. Dark is, he's kind of a fixture here in Vancouver. He's been around and about for quite some time. He's going to be coming in and talking to us about movies and television and all the coolness that is fall. And some cool, some not so cool, but we will see. We're also going to have, we're going to have a lot of TV and movie reviews, to be really honest with you. We're going to have a few things from the internet that have been bugging us here at Queer FM, and lots of all things queer, and that's right here at CITR 101.9 FM. And, well, you know, at radio stations, you have things that you have to play. They have sponsors, and they have this and that. And in the fall, there's so many new ones, they're hard to find. So I'm going to do my best. There's a lot of new content, and you can hear it right here on CITR 101.9 FM. So we'll be right back after this.
This just in, Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, CITR 101.9 FM presents Cabba Radio. Join host Teddy Smooth as he explores the chimerical, the hysterical, the phantasmagorical world of burlesque and cabaret. Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, CITR 101.9 FM brings you Cabba Radio.
Change the scheme, alter the mood. Electrify the boys and girls, if you'd be so kind.
This can't be good. What am I supposed to do?
Survive.
Here they come.
And we're back at CITR 101.9 FM, Queer FM Arts Extra. And as as per usual, this early in the morning, the computer isn't even woken up yet, so it's just kind of sitting here thinking about it. And the stuff you want to play, you can't. So let's try something else here. I was going to, there's a New Era commercial that's really fantastic with Alec Baldwin, and you'll just have to take my word for it. So let's try this instead. We'll see. I'm rooting for it. And Media Player has stopped working. Yes, you gotta love Microsoft, which means I have to completely reboot the control room computer, which I'm not gonna do, which will take me off the air. So I guess, yeah, gotta like it. Well, then in, wow, we're in punt mode because like everything I wanna play, I can't. So we're going to play one other thing and see if I can't just get out the old iPad and run the show off of an iPad. Hey, we do those things in radio. So let's see. What should we play now? Well, let's see. Priority. We have ads. We have, hey, you know what? There's some great stuff. There's a thing called Shindig that comes on here at CITR. There's also The VIF. And since I'm a huge fan of The VIF, we're going to do that right now here on Queer FM Arts Extra.
The Vancouver International Film Festival is back, September 29th through October 14th. Celebrating 30 years of outstanding cinema, VIFF 2011 will screen some of the best films from around the world in a 16-day extravaganza. Be sure to check out The Girls in the Band, a bebop documentary uncovering the startling history of female jazz musicians and all-woman big band music, and proudly sponsored by your comrades at CITR 101.9 FM, and The Family Jams, a lo-fi documentary about Devendra Banhart, Joanna Newsom, and Vetiver's 2004 North American Tour, sponsored by the good folks at Discorder Magazine. For locations, showtimes, and everything else you could possibly want to know about the Vancouver International Film Festival, visit vif.org.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on
Shindig.
October 4th, it's a battle royale with Pranatrix, Sleuth, and Weekday Yard Sale.
On October 11th, come out for a fistful of snacks, radii, and tassels.
Read all about it at shindig.citr.ca.
Usually on Thursday nights, we present a feature called This Week in Unnecessary Censorship. And we realized last week that tonight will be the 300th time we've done this. So to celebrate, we put together some of our favorites. And here now, for the 300th time, we bleep and blur things, whether they need it or not. It is This Week in Unnecessary Censorship, number 300.
I believe we should honor the votes cast by 2.3 million people in those states and all of their d***s.
Name something everyone knows about Abraham Lincoln.
Matthew? The slaves.
The slaves?
Have you ever seen a person stroke a cop before? You stroke a cop backwards when the cop is facing that way. But once in a while, you need to stroke your cop the wrong way. Then the cop can really wake up.
Nobody in America should be f***ed because they're gay.
Nobody in America should be f***ed because they're gay, says the man who's in the process of f***ing this guy.
I like the song.
Go ahead.
Delicious dark
f***. That's it. Yeah.
Do not have a lot of that stuff on your trip to Jamaica. Do
oh
not.
Oh, my God. Do
I don't want to hear what the psychological aspects are, but I was a sucker for so long that I had to wear braces.
Come on. There's nothing like flying cross country with a hot dog in your belly. 735, Allie.
Liner getting him some attention on the Trojan sideline.
Yes. That's not allowed in many parts of Utah.
Do you suck a lot of c-?
I suck a lot of c-. I do. I suck a lot of c-. It's good. I like c-. I always have.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That even smell like letter F. Oh, fuck. Ha, ha.
I know it's cold outside, but I'm f***ed up.
I wonder if you ever think about the things that you can do now that you couldn't do when you were a little baby. Can you f*** yourself now?
Oh, this is so intense. My hands are actually sweating.
I have to go to the bathroom so badly, I'm doing irreparable damage to my kidneys right now.
Well, just go. I'll pause the game.
And what if the Yankees lose? It would be because I somehow jinxed it. I promise you, I will never go to the bathroom again.
I get it. Now, you do know that when the Red Sox win, I'll be haunting your dreams for the next 6 months, right?
And you understand that when the Yankees win, I will use my connections at the State Department to have that wife of yours deported.
Well, then I'm going to tell your brothers where you live.
And here's a bit.
Yeah.
No.
What? John, I'm sorry. Oh, come on.
I'm so sorry.
And finally, one of the most unusual pre-race prayers you will ever hear.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for all your blessings. You said in all things give thanks. So we want to thank you tonight for these mighty machines that you've brought before us. Thank you for the Dodges and the Toyotas. Thank you for the Fords. And most of all, we thank you for Roush and Yates partnering to give us the power that we see before us tonight. Thank you for Jim, performance technology, and RO70. that night, Lisa. And my two children, Eli and Emma. Or as we like to call them, the Little E's. Lord, I pray it bless the drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name. Boogity, 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 amen. Boogity, boogity, boogity.
How cool was that?
Boogity, 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 subscribe.
And I have to interject here. My name's Aiden Saint. I am in the control room with the Samantha Mac.
Good morning.
And this is Queer FM Arts Extra. Well, we are waiting on Aaron Harrison, Mr. Dark. He's going to come in and talk about some of the really cool TV shows and things. And so in the interim, we worked our way around the computer not working particularly well. And I wanted to share with you the backstory on that last thing. And the backstory is this. There actually is, in NASCAR, they do prayers before races, since there's a lot of conservative and Christian folks generally in the audience. And they actually had a pastor who, Lord, I want to thank you for my smoking hot wife as part of the prayer. And I just loved it. And someone auto-tuned it, so there you go. Well, hey, there's all kinds of fantastic stuff going on, and one of the things that's pretty fantastic is Kate Reed. Kate Reed came into the studio 2 weeks ago. She's on her Just Doing It for the Chicks tour, and you got to check it out at katereid.net. That's KATEREID.net. And this is a track from that. It's the bonus track called My Baby's in the Beer Tent Again. No, she really is. And God bless her, too. So anyway, this is Kate Reed, and we'll be right back with Queer FM Arts Extra.
It's a musician's life for me, don't you know? It's just me and my guitar on the road. And sometimes my baby takes off work to join me. Then it's hotel rooms and late night shows, dirty bars and festivals. There's one thing that you should know about my baby, is that she's so dedicated to me, it's crazy. Well, she carries my guitar, she drives me near and far. She's always there for me, my baby is so damn good to me. And when we walk together through these festival gates, well, the grounds lay out before us and my adoring fans are awaiting. There's vendors of handmade clothes, energy shakes, and soap makers. And music for all ages. Well, the excitement is contagious. So I've turned to share my feelings with my baby. But suddenly she is nowhere to be seen. It seems that she's all but disappeared and my worst fear is realized. When I finally discover she is otherwise occupied. My baby's in the beer tent again. She appears to be befriending the cute volunteer bartenders. She's boozing with the locals and she's schmoozing folks and smoking. My baby's in the beer tent again. Oh, my baby, she's as loyal as they get. Why, she's as solid as an S10 Chevy pickup truck in red. And I know she'll never leave my side. Well, it seems her eyes were made with me in mind. And for my baby, well, you know it's all about the music. She loves nothing better than to dance a little two-step now and then. 'Cause she digs bluegrass, folk, and country and old-timey. And as for my tunes, well, she's 100% behind me. But when we're at these festivals, my baby starts to change. She starts frothing at the mouth. She's got her sights set somewhere else. 'Cause when it comes to beer, well, I seem to disappear. She drops all my stuff and then she's off and running. And my baby's in the beer tent again. Well, she's chatting up the ladies, and she's arm wrestling all the men. She's chugging with the redneck. spending my whole paycheck. My baby's in the beer tent again. Well, my baby's rather quiet and introverted. Yeah, she doesn't tend to be much of a flirt. But when she gets a can of liquid courage in her hand, well, she turns into an instant bona fide ladies' man. She loves to party with our people and wave that rainbow flag. She'll be singing, "We are family," with the old school fags and the drag queens. Well, she's guzzling with the gays. She's down and drinks with all the dykes. She won't ever lay down and die. I know my baby will survive, 'cause my baby's in the beer tent again. Well, she's even louder and she's prouder when her pride's a little pie-eyed. She's buying beers for all the queers. She's on a gender bender. My baby's in the beer tent again. She's dressed to kill in her Crocs, cutoffs and plaid shirt. Well, my baby's a plate of fashion, and she's looking hot for certain. But she swears up and down that she ain't the Earth Mama type. Well, she firmly believes that she ain't no granola dyke stereotype. But when my baby starts swilling hops with all the hippies, then she's talking 1960s folk songs and she's rolling herbal ciggies. She spouts off about compost, organic gardening, and tofu. She's toking with her psychedelic sisters, and she's even playing Naked Twister. And my baby's in the beer tent again. Yeah, she's tripping with the hippies, and her peace man never ends. But she gets all flower power when she gets a few drinks down her. My baby's in the beer tent again. And my baby's in the beer tent again. Yeah, she's in all her splendor, and she's a repeat offender. She's dancing on the tabletops, and she shows no sign of stopping. My baby's in the beer tent again. My baby's in the beer tent again.
Hey, it's Aiden Saint. This is Queer FM Arts Extra. And as a public service announcement, we want to play this one last clip, and then we're actually going to come back with Samantha Mack and talk about this new band, Quickness, that you just heard. This is a very important public service announcement, and I wish this product were actually available, but it's always made us laugh, and so here you go. This is for Red Flag Perfume.
She can stop every conversation just by entering the room. She can change your night with a single look. And if you ask her what she does, she'll tell you, I'm a dancer. She's gorgeous, wealthy, a free spirit, and her ex-boyfriend was a club promoter. She knows exactly where to go, exactly what to do, and all her friends are dudes. She's exquisite, but she also lived in Vegas for 11 years. She's funny, but not funny like ha-ha. Is way
that's a major red flag.
Red Flag Perfume by Chanel. The only perfume that warns men.
I'm crazy.
Red Flag smells like trouble.
You're welcome. Okay, I had to steal Sam's line for that one. Okay, so we have Samantha Mack on, and there's this new band called, is it new or an ongoing?
Not really new. They're kind of surprisingly new. They're surprisingly new.
Define surprisingly new. Is that a marketing term or?
They've been around for 3 years.
Oh, okay.
But they're
so
huge right now.
Huge?
Huge.
Are we talking girth or length?
Oh, girth, obviously.
Okay.
So, they were first formed in 2008.
Uh-huh.
And this is the first or second album. I believe this is their first album that's come out. And they're like a seasoned traveling band, but there's three guys from three separate bands. Their bass player is David Marion, and he also plays bass for the 2010 Grammy Award-winning band called Alex Cuba. Ray is their drummer, and he's known for his multiple Juno Award-winning Toronto hip-hop band, artist that he played for, Chaos. Maybe you've heard of Chaos, I don't know. And then Jacob, their lead guy, has been engineering and producing bands for over 10 years, including Five Alarm Funk.
Fantastic.
So these three guys are seasoned veterans who are now touring together, and they've got a show coming up October 20th at Joe's Apartment here in Vancouver. If you missed that, or you're not in Vancouver, you can go to Dublin's Crossing on the 21st and the 22nd of October. They're doing live shows weekly right now. They're hot. They're crazy hot.
Well, there's fantastic cover art, if nothing else. The music is really great, and check this cover. They have this inside cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty.
They're adorable.
Yeah, they're wearing animals on their heads. Let's see. There's a crow. There's a rhinoceros. There's a lion, and there's a zebra. It's pretty cool.
That pretty much describes them.
Yeah.
That's pretty authentic.
So I'm kind of digging the, I have to go with the crow or the raven guy, you know, the goth guy.
I'll see if I can introduce you.
With the black hair and, you know, and the style. The guy with the hoodie, no. Sorry, I don't do hoodie. So,
do hoodie.
Yeah, no, it's so 1998. So, it's a fantastic track. Now, have you seen them live?
I've seen them live multiple times. These guys are super amazing. They're called Quickness.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find them online. The easiest way to find them, I hate to say it, but it's MySpace.
Whoa.
No,
MySpace.
You know they have, if you search the Quickness Vancouver band on Google, you'll get tons and tons of websites about them. But the one that that I find the easiest to maneuver through right now is good old-fashioned MySpace. It's got their band updates, their show updates, their bio. Everything's laid out nicely. And you can hear all their music for free.
Wow.
They're on C-Fox's Supernova as well. Not as easy a website to maneuver. But, you know, we still love you, C-Fox. Yay. that sound authentic?
No.
Okay, good. I wasn't planning on it. But yeah, if you go to myspace.com/quicknessband, that's where they are. They're super awesome. You can see their new CD and information about their upcoming shows. And yeah, there's three handsome men making some pretty handsome music.
Fantastic. Well, we will get, we're going to get those guys in.
Yeah, we definitely should.
Also, one of the things that I got to do this this last week is I got to table the AIDS Vancouver DIMS Celebrity Dim Sum event, fourth annual event. A lot of fantastic people were there, and they had a great band called Plantronics. Yes, just like the little headsets. And it's a seven-member band that plays all Asian instruments.
Cool.
And plays modern music. And it was stunning. It was a real bitch to have to mic that because it's all acoustic mics, but worth every second of pain and swearing that I had to go through for that. And I'm sitting down. I'm finishing up the mixer on that. And who sits down next to me and starts to talk about the little iPad I have set up? But the mayor.
Of course.
Yeah, he sits down very casually. Oh, hey, so Queer FM, what radio show is that? What radio station? And starts to talk about the merits of an iPad 2 and a Bluetooth keyboard.
Huh.
And just nice guy, just kind of hanging out. I talked to the mayor for about 5 minutes. And, you know, it was like, wow, yeah, that would never happen in Seattle.
That's interesting.
Yeah, there'd be a metal detector and I'd be frisked down before I got anywhere near him. Are you a liberal? Oh, you can't talk to the mayor. I'm sorry. So yeah, it was kind of a great event. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars were raised.
Oh, good.
Sold out. Standing room only, literally in the back. It was an amazing event. Go out to AIDSVancouver.com. Check it out. Give a lot for this charity. They gave away all kinds of amazing things raffle for, I think the 50-50 alone was like $1,200. It was just insane. And you really need to check out AIDS Vancouver. They're doing some great work over there. And so we're going to step aside here. This is CITR 101.9 FM. We are coming back with Mr. Dark of Fetish Night X. We're going to talk about TV. We're going to talk about movies. We're going to, we're going to do all that and more right here. We're going to step aside. This is the Fountainhead Pub. One of our favorite places. We'll be right back.
This upscale pub, featuring lots of dark wood, a cool bar with your favorite ales on tap, and friendly servers, is a great place to hang with friends or to, maybe, make a new one. If you've only got time to stop in for a quick lunch, you'll be happy to see the menu featuring standard pub fare at reasonable prices. Sit inside or head out to the covered patio to indulge in one of the best things about Davie Street. Cruising. Or, for you shy types, people watching.
The Fountainhead Pub at 1025 Davie Street. Open Sunday to Thursday from 11 a.m. to midnight.
Or drop by from Friday to Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. Cheers.
This is Kay Tuckerman. I play Donna Sheridan in Mamma Mia, and you're listening to Queer FM on CITR 101.9.
I've been too long, I'm glad to be back. Yes, I'm let loose from the noose that's kept me hanging about. Truth, I keep looking at the sky cause it's getting me high. Forget the hearse cause I never die. I've got nine lives, cat's eyes, using every one of them, running wild.
band. It's Back in Black, Carlos Santana, and NAS. We're going to play this a little bit in the background here because we've got two really fantastic people in the studio. Of course, you know Samantha Mack. She's been pretty fantastic and really helped us out last week, last Sunday's show. I was a little under the weather, and she came in and... Well, Sam and Justin are kind of like our cleanup batters. I mean, you just say, hey, I need you to hit the ball over there. And they just do. It's fantastic. So, I have, fortunately, Mr. Dark also. Mr. Dark is was the founder of Sin City and ran that with Isaac for 10 years. He's a... Wow, he makes fantastic Hollywood props... costumes. He's an actor. He's a lot of things. He's just
That's right. Find me. You want to see a movie I was in? Go to any clearance DVD bin at any Rogers or Blockbuster.
Well, I was on a movie set with Mr. Dark last Wednesday, all damn day, and he was fantastic. He made his entire outfit. I mean, I just showed up in my normal suit of armor. Everything he made was pretty stellar, and we just kind of hung out and were background for a bunch of teenagers. Mm-hmm. It was kind of odd, actually. It's one of those things where you're going, wow, really? Okay.
Yeah, gene pool cleaner when you're looking for him.
But what we wanted to do is talk about some of the movies and television of the fall.
Gene pool cleaner?
Hey, you know.
Wouldn't that be a gene pool boy?
A gene pool boy, there you go.
Hey, I'm not making any judgments here.
All right, so there's, as usual, back in the day, they used to have television shows on the three major networks, so this was even before Fox, and the schedule was 26 episodes of television. The BBC's model is actually a little bit different. They've been doing smaller productions, shorter runs, and people would wait longer, hence things like if you'd watch... say Red Dwarf, there'd be six episodes and that's it, and you'd wait for a whole year to see six more. I think they finally expanded to eight, and then, you know, and that was considered groundbreaking at the BBC. Well, in North America it's a little bit different. They were at 26, and then some of the actors and some of the productions started dwindling it down. It hit 20
because of the writer's strike.
Was that it?
The writer's strike. Yeah, that was back in the days of Jump Street. We used to call that year the year of writers on crack.
Oh wow!
Because they were just recycling any script they could get because they couldn't write anything new. Well, that helps. So yeah, there was a lot of. There's an entire season of Jump Street, which is basically a ripoff of movies like Stand By Me and a couple other movies. In fact, there are scenes directly ripped off from movies in that entire series.
So what we've come to have now with networks like AMC and in a smaller degree, places like TNT and
Stars, HBO,
they have decided, Showtime also, have decided that they can make more money and get more audiences throughout the year by staggering, either cutting the series in half and showing a first half and a second half with a big gap, or they can just produce less and throw more, have less overall money and then throw more into the production.
Well, it's also they can take less risk because if they only do six shows and the audience likes it, great. And if they don't like it, then great. They've only spent money for six shows.
So what we're going to do is talk about a few very quickly. We're just going to like touch it, tell you what it's about, give you kind of a thumbs up, thumbs down, why we like it individually, and if we've seen it. So we're going to start off with something really kind of cool. It's a graphic novel. It's called The Walking Dead. I'm starting with that because I figure, you know, I'm going to throw Mr. Dark here an easy one. The Walking Dead is a graphic novel. It's extremely interesting premise of what would happen if you just woke up one day in a hospital after being, you know, as a cop after being shot, and realized that the entire world has been overrun by zombies. Very, very high production quality. The story is spot effing on.
Each episode is like a mini movie.
It's an amazing cast of characters. The production quality is stellar. I don't have anything bad to say about it other than hey, why the hell have you guys been off the air? It's coming back on the air here real soon, so catch up. But The Walking Dead, what did you think?
I thought it was actually incredible. In fact, after watching all six episodes, I looked at it and went, wait a minute, that was only six episodes? Each one feels like you've watched two episodes to three episodes at a time. All the characters are amazing. The acting is amazing. The zombies, of course, are done by the same guy who did... He learned from Tom Savini, and he did Land of the Dead, and he did Dawn of the Dead, or Day of the Dead. He's done all the zombie movies. He's the guy now. And he, in fact, is now directing a webisode series based on the pre-life of one of the famous zombies from the series.
Oh, yeah. Which zombie?
Bicycle Girl. The one, the half girl, the half body you find next
to. Oh, okay. In the very first episode, as the guy kind of staggers out of this hospital, it's surrounded entirely by military equipment sitting unused. Helicopters, Humvees, the whole bit. He doesn't go in and grab a Humvee, which I thought was a little weird.
Must have been out of gas.
Yeah, must have been. He staggers over to a park, and there's a bicycle sitting there, and there's a half-eaten zombie girl that's lying in the grass, you know, groaning at him.
Trying to crawl around.
Trying to crawl around and get him. And, of course, he freaks out, gets on a bicycle, and rides to his home. Well, zombie girl...
There is a precursor story, and it's directed by, I can't remember his name for some reason, but it's directed by the effects artist, and it's all her story from when she became, up to when she became the bicycle girl, but it's, he's covering the part of the apocalypse you don't really get to see in the series.
Oh, fantastic. Well, and a lot of groups have started doing online or alternative content. You can go back to the Animatrix animations that were done between the second and third movie that actually have critical portions of the third movie backstory in it. In fact, if you go back to 2005, the Cartoon Network aired 23-minute episodes of Star Wars The Clone Wars that were done by a South Korean anime company. George Lucas and Lucasfilm liked them so much, they gave that company the first 100 or so pages of Revenge of the Sith, the actual script, and said, here, make some episodes. So they made four 13-minute episodes that, if you watch that, it makes more sense when, at the beginning of episode three, they're just suddenly all around Coruscant and there's all this stuff going on. It actually makes sense.
Makes more sense. Does that also translate to sells more toys?
Sells more toys. Yeah. So the next show that we want to talk about real quick, let's see. What should we talk about? Well, let's talk about Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is an AMC original. It's a fantastic show about what would happen if you find that you're a teacher, you have terminal cancer, you're an extremely, or not a teacher, you work for the government to spot meth labs, and you're a chemist.
Well, that wasn't his job.
But he consulted, did he not?
No. He was a science teacher. He used to be a brilliant scientist, and he worked for a company, and he kind of got saddled away out of the company.
Got it.
And then he became the teacher, and then he finds out he has cancer and doesn't want to take charity, so he decides, hey, really, you make this much money doing this? By watching a drug raid.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, yeah, I'd forgotten that bit. And it's what happens. Now, it's in season four. It's what happens to his family. His brother-in-law is a DEA agent, to throw a little wrinkle into the mix. There's Mexican cartels. It is violent. It does not promote drug use, not far from it.
Oh, no, it actually does not make it, does not glorify it in any way.
But what you really need to do is go back and check this out. It's coming to an end. I think there is one more season.
One more.
Left. After this year, the finale is next week, and it's something that, you know, if you're an insomniac and you have an awful lot of time in your hands, go back and watch all of Breaking Bad at once. Now, I know Mr. Dark has done that recently.
Yeah, I kind of got hooked on it. The first two seasons, not something to watch when you're kind of depressed, because it is a real downer, but as soon as you get into third season, they really kick it into high gear, and you can see why the first two seasons were necessary to build up to it. I got to ask you, who is your favorite character on the show right now?
My favorite character on the show. Oh, my goodness. Now, here's why I'm pausing. This show, there aren't a lot of sympathetic characters for me because they portray them very well. Everyone has deep, deep flaws.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one. Wow.
Mine is Mike.
Mike.
Oh, the cleaner, the hitman.
The hitman, yeah. The fixer.
Because he's actually not a bad guy. He's just, like they say, you know, how do you get along through life doing this kind of work? And he goes, because I enjoy my job.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're happy doing something, and he's got to be the coolest guy on the show.
I'd say my favorite actually is the boss.
Gustavo. Gustavo is, you know, when I first saw him, I thought he was a villain and a crime lord. I have now come to look at him as he is a super villain. That man is always 10 steps ahead of everybody.
And the cool thing about it is you actually get to see the backstory of Gustavo,
yeah,
from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a complete story arc. As true to AMC Productions, they do tell stories well.
Man, he is a monster.
He really is a monster. So check it out. Its name is Breaking Bad. You need to see it. It's won a ton of Emmy Awards. It's a really fantastic show. Also on AMC, of course, my favorite, can't say enough about it, is Mad Men. We're going to be really, really quick on this because it's been done. Don Draper, the man without a past, or... does he have a past?
I have no idea. I don't watch your show.
Don Draper is a sympathetic and unsympathetic character who embodies the 1960s ad man. Lots of cigarette smoking, lots of references to history. The costumes are spot on. It shows you a turbulent time in the United States and what happens with all sorts of various characters in the advertising business. If you haven't seen it, see it. It's worth it. Again, lots of Emmys. The other thing that's trying to be Mad Men just came out. It's called Pan Am. Wow, I almost choked even trying to say it. Pan Am was my Twitter blew up the other day. It's true. Every gay man, especially the drag queens in Davy Village... and you know who you are, they all were saying, Pan Am, I've seen the first 10 minutes of it and my life is complete.
Okay,
please. Really? Really?
If television makes your life complete?
I mean, an insipid... Wow. Look, the word insipid comes to mind. The sets are really... Well, they're really basic because, look, it's a plane. You know? It's... Now, had they actually explained that... The fleet of and this airline was actually created by Howard Hughes against all the other providers and all the other aircraft manufacturers. I mean, they went and recreated these planes very, very well. But it's not as interesting if you don't know it's from Howard Hughes and all the trouble he went to make it so. Great, pretty people on that show. And that's the only positive thing I have to say. Pan Am wants to be Mad Men so bad when it grows up, and I don't think it'll ever happen. Similarly, of the Playboy Club, I saw, I think, 5 minutes of that. The network is already talking about canceling it. It's only aired, I think, 3 shows total, and it might be gone, so we won't bother. What's another show that you'd like to talk about?
I would have to say Supernatural.
Indeed.
You know, I think in the first 2 episodes, they have so heavily tried to make up for, half a season last year of slow. And I actually, you know, a little side note, when we did the Pride Parade, who do I see standing there right at the foot of the back of the float but Misha Collins?
Oh, right on.
And... yeah, really nice guy. And yeah, he starts off the first 2 episodes with a bang, and apparently he doesn't even know what they're going to do. They aren't telling him anything. But so far, the show has really gone into high gear. They've brought in every bad thing they can. Satan's back in some capacity. Sam's going crazy. Misha Collins, at first, is... what's his name? Anyways, the angel, he's apparently thinks he's the new god and goes around wiping out every religious order that he doesn't actually think is a proper Christian or God religious order. So, and the guys are like, what do we do about this? And they're like, there's no books on this one, so we're at a loss. So they just sit there and listen. And there's one point where he's wiped out an entire new age group, and Dean sits there and goes, okay, I can see that. And there's like the KKK is disbanded because they're like, okay, we're out.
Well, there's some really amazing stuff. Supernatural is, I think, coming to an end here at some point.
I think this is the last season they're going to try and stretch it.
Yeah. They stretched Smallville, which used to run right before Supernatural. They stretched that to 10 seasons. Personally, I think they should have stopped 2 seasons prior to that, mm-hmm. but that's just me. Got a little bit of Kate Reed in the background here because I can. the other thing that I saw and I've downloaded, and because I download my television, I can't stand commercials. They have a new show, which you got to see last night, so let's hear about it.
Terra Nova.
Terra Nova.
Visually, it's pretty. It has production value, and I do like a couple of the actors, but I'm sorry. I'm tired of Hollywood formula. Ooh, he's estranged from his son, and his son doesn't like him. Oh, by the first episode, his son likes him again. Oh, my God, really? Like, let's just pull all these cookie-cutter characters out of a box and throw them into another situation.
Yeah. Terra Nova, if you haven't seen it, it only has 3 episodes out currently. It's about what would happen. It's in the mid-22nd century. The polar ice caps have melted. The entire planet is completely covered in smog. You can't breathe outside. They have a strict policy about children. You can only have 2. That's it. If you have more than that, they put your ass in jail. There's sterilization procedures. I mean, it's really intense. But they find a Stargate-like or create a Stargate-like device that allows you to go back in time. And they create a portal that goes back in time to 85 million years ago. That's 20 million years before the big rock hits the Yucatan Peninsula and wipes out the dinosaurs. So you have all these dinosaurs there. And so it's Jurassic Park meets Stargate, plus the courtship of Eddie's father, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
Plus, let's see, what other shows have they thrown? Sequest DSV.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit of Sequest-y stuff going on. Well, I'm sure there's 3 or 4 others that I'm forgetting, but essentially they put all those shows into a blender and created this show. I like the pseudoscience of it, and I like the fact that there's a Lost feel to it. They've thrown Lost into the mix, and so there's what happened to one of the explorers in the first party when he crossed the threshold, and the people walking just seconds behind him took like 18 months to show up.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time dilation, and so what did he do in that time? And there's the waterfall with all the strange writing, and there's the Sixers, the which are kind of the group of radicals that came in the sixth party, and they're now a rival faction, and blah 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 blah. The point is that either this thing is going to get a following like Lost, or it's going to fail.
I have a feeling it's just going to be another short-lived sci-fi series like Earth 2, which went left field. I'm not really holding my breath on this show.
So,
Game of Thrones. Oof, I can't say enough good about that. It's amazing. I can't wait to see the new season because they just keep throwing things at you. I love the political intrigue. I've never watched a show like this where I've actually been entertained by something that has very little violence in it, but the fact that, you know, there's characters who try and stop something from happening, and by their actions trying to stop it from happening, make it happen.
Of course they do. We're going to take a quick break here and do a little radio business because they make us do this. And we don't mind. So we'll be right back here on CITR 101.9 FM. This is Queer FM Arts Extra. And my name is Aiden Saints, and that's just the way it is. All right. So we'll be right back.
Still want to talk about Baraku?
Is it Baraku?
CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot, or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
And we're back. It's Queer FM Arts Extra. We could talk TV all damn day. Between Dark and I, we can, we have.
I'm a media whore.
We have talked all this. So what we're going to do is we're going to switch gears here for the last little bit of the show. And we are going to talk about a really fantastic show that Mr. Dark actually recommended to me. I saw it. We screened it actually in the Blue Lava Lounge in the Davie Village. And myself, my husband Justin, and our friend Nelson screened this. I think our friend Erica was there, and she was digging it. And it's called Baraku.
Amazing, amazing film.
So set it up for us.
Okay, so this takes place in the far-off future when, after so many wars, they've completely outlawed guns. And now everything's handled by the sword, and there's very few cities left anymore, and they're pretty well run by crime lords, for a better choice of words. And in this city, it's run by Ron Perlman, known as, what was it again, The Woodsman. And there's Woody Harrelson and Demi Moore, and God, what's the name of the pretty guy again?
Oh, Christ. They have a really, really pretty actor. And of course, I'm going to think of it right after we go off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But as Woody Harrelson says, so I've got a cowboy without a gun and a samurai without a sword. And the whole thing, I mean, you could take Kung Fu Hustle, Kill Bill, Dick Tracy, and
300
and Sin City.
Yeah.
Jam them together, mm-hmm. pull out a lot of good points and styles, and the whole thing, the whole opening of the story is done with puppets and origami.
Yeah.
Just to give you the backstory.
Oh, yeah. No, it's really amazing because even the sets reminded me of the movie Sin City. And it looks like it could be staged on a stage or a series of stages. Highly stylized. The martial arts are amazing.
The guy from Rome, again, I can't remember his name, but the blonde actor who played one of the two leads in Rome does this martial arts style that is a style between cane fighting, sword fighting, and jazz dancing. And I say this rarely about any martial artist, he was beautiful to watch.
No, I agree.
It was amazing.
It was funny because I found my, watching it, found my feet kind of going, how would he do that?
Yeah.
So the thing is, the film is called Baraku. We'll have to spell it. B-A-R-K-U.
K-U.
Baraku. It's
Let's look up Ron Perlman on IMDb and then find.
Yeah, there you go. It's definitely worth a look.
Absolutely.
The Asian character that's the samurai is I think either androgynous. They have him dressed up as androgynous or something, but he looks very very alternative.
He's very pretty.
Very, very pretty. All the actors in it. And Woody Harrelson is even pretty in this.
Well, Woody Harrelson as the bartender is really good because a lot of the time there'll be fights and he'll be just sitting back watching like, well, okay, I'm going to sit back here and watch. But he's kind of like the go-to guy, the backup guy. He's trying, but you find out near the end that he's actually trying to coordinate something to happen.
Yeah. So we can't give away too much on this because it's definitely a fantastic show and you
Absolutely.
Need to see it. We lost our other host. We lost Samantha Mack for several weeks, actually. She was off.
Was she under the couch?
Well, no, she wasn't. She wasn't looking for change. She wasn't looking for Jesus. She was actually looking for Crazy Dracula. Now, we tried to have Crazy Dracula on the show about a month ago. The bastard was out at Burning Man. Could not be bothered. So, but you did a film with him. You filmed with Fiona Forbes, which is, she's going to be on our show next week.
Awesome.
On Queer FM. And tell us about this project because you helped produce a film.
I did. We had some amazing actors come together and we filmed a movie about Crazy Dracula. And Crazy Dracula is quite the character. You can follow him on Twitter at Crazy Dracula. He didn't really know what we were up to. We just told him we were making a movie about him. And so this is a movie all about him and his life and how crazy he is. And he has some really amazing friends. Mostly the ones who came out were Santa Claus, the Invisible Man, Frankenstein, Igor was there, and of course the Wolfman, who hopefully will be joining us in studio soon. The Wolfman has a lot of problems. He's an aging Wolfman. He's balding. He's a little on the chunky side, and he has just come out of the closet.
Mr. Dark is laughing because
I have to see this show.
Oh, he'll be here. You can meet him. He's fantastic. Oh, he's one of the most amazing people I've ever met. They were on set with us with Fiona Forbes and some other amazing, amazing actors here in Vancouver. And it was kind of amazing and fabulous. Anyways, sorry, I'm being distracted by the phone right now. I'm going to just do this. Sorry, I hung up on you. That's what happens when you call when I'm talking.
Yeah.
I just hang up on people.
Hangs up on them.
Crazy Dracula, super amazing. It should be released for a screening date for Halloween. It's a Granger Brothers movie, so you can check it out at on Facebook with the Granger Brothers. And there is a YouTube video up of what happened between takes. It was late, we had a 16-hour filming day, we got everything finished, and the monsters were getting a little antsy, and they decided to randomly start beatboxing.
Oh, I thought they were going to randomly have sex with, you know, people on set.
No. It was a Sunday, honey. It was the Lord's Day. So no, the monsters got together and started beatboxing, and it was really quite amazing. And somebody caught the audio by, I don't know who did it. It was a little sneaky. It was a little fantastic, but that'll be up on Facebook in just a second here. It's absolutely amazing. You've got to check it out. And these monsters are great, and you can see them and find out all about them. One of the people I like to follow is Drinkenstein69 on Twitter, and he is the guy who kind of caused all the problems with Crazy Dracula and is the reason we made this movie.
Wow.
So if you don't know who Drinkenstein is, check him out on Twitter. He's ridiculous.
Drinkenstein.
He's ridiculous.
Oh my goodness. Well, we're going to step aside for a bit. We're actually supposed to be ending right now, and... we don't have our next show up, so we're going to figure out what's going on with that.
Maybe that's and the phone call.
Maybe that's them calling. So we are going to step aside and take care of some business. We'll be right back.
What's his name?
October is sure to be a busy month at the Biltmore. On October 6th, catch bands Hollow Moon, The Bleeding Hearts, and Pineapple. A supergroup featuring members of the SSRIs, Portage in the Main, and Prairie Cat. October 21st, jam out with Daydream Vacation, indie rocker Zeus, and local favorites Sun Wizard. For fans of the New Pornographers, you won't want to miss band member Catherine Calder and special guest Anime Bell on October 27th. To round out your month, October 29th brings the band Nurses all the way up from Portland to share the stage with Dominant Legs.
For more information on these and other shows, including how to get tickets, visit BiltmoreCabaret.com. The Vancouver International Film Festival is back, September 29th through October 14th. Celebrating 30 years of outstanding cinema, VIFF 2011 will screen some of the best films from around the world in a 16-day extravaganza. Be sure to check out The Girls in the Band, a bebop documentary uncovering the startling history of female jazz musicians and all-woman big band music, and proudly sponsored by your comrades at CITR 101.9 FM, and The Family Jams, a lo-fi documentary about Devendra Banhart, Joanna Newsom, and Vetiver's 2004 North American Tour, sponsored by the good folks at Discorder Magazine. For locations, showtimes, and everything else you could possibly want to know about the Vancouver International Film Festival, visit vif.org.
And we're back. It's an extended set of Queer FM Arts Extra. We've been extended. Normally we have a fill-in show that comes in behind us, and they're not filling in. And so we're not doing dead air. So we're going to talk more about Samantha Mack has actually sent me... tell us what you sent me.
I sent you Drinkenstein.
Drinkenstein.
He's singing.
Okay, well, Drinkenstein is going to be singing here on Queer FM Arts Extra, and we're kind of going to just go off the cuff here because we don't have anything programmed. We'll be right back. CITR 101.9 FM.
call him Frankenstein. And the tavern down the street is the laboratory where he makes the transformation all the time. And a sign of Dr. Bud is a pint of monster blood, and it does affect me different every time. But Wather, you created a monster, and they call me Frankenstein. And they call me Frankenstein. Yeah, I'm Frankenstein. I'm Frankenstein. I'm Frankenstein.
And that was Frankenstein here. That was Sylvester Stallone, actually, in a funny hat with a couple of raccoon tails, it looked like, hanging off of that. So,
yeah, well, he was singing a little ditty for Dolly Parton there. That's where our Frankenstein got his inspiration from. And when you know people like this who are crazy and insane and who dress up like Frankenstein, you got to make a movie about them. So the Granger Brothers made a movie and kind of got these people involved. And when you know people like this, you got to make a movie. So it'll be out for Halloween. Make sure you check it out. Go to Facebook.com, check out the Granger Brothers. You won't be sorry.
We're going to step aside just for a quick second. We have our person, our next host has come in. So we're going to play a quick PSA. We're going to talk about one more thing because, hey, we're going to, and then we're going to let her get set up, and we'll get on with the next show. So this is Queer FM Arts Extra Extended Edition, and we'll be right back with a few extra words from Mr. Dark of Fetish Night X right after this.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
All right, we're back. We've got Samantha Mack. We have Mr. Dark, and I'm Aiden Saint. This is Queer FM Arts Extra Extended. We're going to be jumping off the air in just a second. We wanted to talk just for a second about a really cool event. It's ongoing. It's Fetish Night X. It's happening this Saturday night at Club 23 down in Gastown. So so tell us, what's on tap for this week's show?
This is our October pre-Halloween party. This is a point where you can actually take the outfit you plan on wearing or may not plan on wearing after wearing it and test run it. And it's always a good party. I actually have Kane DeLay of Left Spine Down, and who's personally requested that he plays there. I have Jeremy Inkle of Frontline Assembly DJing also. We're going to have prizes for best costume. I have got to keep them kind of hush-hush just yet. It's going to be a really good night. I'm really looking forward to it.
And the really cool part about this is Queer FM is one of the sponsors. Queer FM CITR is one of the sponsors of Fetish Night X, and we are giving away a U+2 ticket package to go. It's VIP. You don't stand in line. You don't do what you still have to do, dress the dress code. So if you think you're going to show up in Docker pants and your little loafers, it ain't happening.
Nope.
You can show up that way.
Oh, yeah.
But our friendly staff of bouncers will tell you that, no, I'm sorry.
Unless
go home.
You're changing.
Go yeah. home and change. So what you do is real simple. You go out to this thing called Facebook, and you look for Fetish Night X, and there's a page. And if you hit the little like button, and we're going to put this on Queer FM, queerfmvancouver.com, if you click the like button for Fetish Night X, you are entered to win. We are going to draw a ticket. We're going to draw three names, and we're going to go down the list on Saturday at noon. And if you respond, fine. If you don't, it goes to the next person. Got me? If you already like that page, you're already entered to win. Simple enough, right?
Absolutely.
So you have to click the button. As Samantha says oftentimes to me,
click the button. Push the button.
There you go. So push the button. Get some free ticks for you and two of your pals to go to Fetish Night X. It's worthy. You need to check it out. And Samantha, before we get off.
You're not worthy.
No, this is worthy. And before we jump off air, what's going on with you? You still have the trivia thing going on and everything else?
Well, tonight I'm going to be at the Junction for...
Oh, you've got a nose piercing now.
Thanks for noticing.
What the hell? Oh, I've been...
That's because I was filming a movie this weekend. It's not real. It's clamped into my nose and it doesn't come out until I get it taken out. But yeah, I have a fake septum piercing at the moment, which I might actually go get pierced because I kind of like it.
It's kind of fetching.
That's because I filmed a movie this weekend for a comedy special.
Right.
That'll be on Channel 57 one day, eventually. You know how those things happen. It'll probably be 2015 before that shows up. But I got to play a rapper's girlfriend. Which
sweet. Well, you kind of got the weird hat.
I got the weird flat brim hat going on today.
Now, you know George Carlin has a policy before he passed away about hats, that you have to have the hat forward unless past the age of 8, unless you're a catcher. An actual catcher for a baseball or softball team, then you can spin that sucker around. So I think the term he used was goofy mother. Well,
if my hat was facing forward right now, it'd be hitting the microphone. So
well, that's true.
I'm catching the sound waves right now.
There you go.
That's what I'm doing.
And his next advice was, and pull up your damn pants.
That's also Dennis Leary's. He almost got arrested for that.
Yeah.
Enjoying where my pants sit. Thank you.
Well, there you go. What else do you have going on? Where can
tonight at the Junction, I'll be doing something. I'm not 100% sure what I'm doing tonight. I'm either going to do a little acoustic ditty or I'm going to dress up as a belly dancer. I haven't decided.
And this is for?
Out in schools in Vancouver Food Bank. It's called, what's it called?
Well, is it the Miss Gay Vancouver event?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. So it's a Rhinestone's Letter
There we
show.
Go, Rhinestone's Letter. Wow, my brain just left me.
Yes.
That's something I just remembered because I only got emailed this last night. Something that we're doing at Fetish Night X is there is a... I'll knock $1 off your entry if you bring a bra you do not need anymore because this is for bras across the bridge. Where every time they span the Capilano Bridge with bras in one line, there's a donation of $500 given to... I think it's